Well, you know, it's interesting. We and this is, since the theme here is kind of working together, this is an issue that I think when you look at what the mayor did and what Senator Stedman did and what I did, that was literally kind of a triple tag team. The mayor sounding the alarm on what the issue would be when we were going to lose the 110 here. And then I was raising that quite a lot. Senator Stedman was coming in reinforcing that. You may have seen we actually held a hearing for the confirmation of the Commandant of the Coast Guard. I chaired that hearing. I chaired the subcommittee in charge of the Coast Guard. And previously it told me that they were looking pretty strongly at a patrol cutter here, 87-footer, to replace the 110. And in the hearing, he kind of walked that back, which was a mistake, because then I put a hold on his confirmation until we got a letter from the sitting commandant that laid out exactly what the Coast Guard was going to do for Southeast, and it was to increase the amount of cutters, not decrease, and spread them out. Their original plan was actually to decrease the cutter capacity in the Southeast and put them in just one community. So, or two communities. And so this is, you've probably seen the letter from the commandant to me saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step up the numbers and we're going to spread them out. Petersburg, Sitka, Juneau. So that was an effort that all of us worked together on. But I really want to compliment the mayor and Senator Stedman on that, too. And that was a team effort.
Is that still the plan as far as
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. It's still the plan. But my view is, you know, we're doing a major recapitalization of the entire Coast Guard fleet. And that's everything from national security cutters, which are huge. Those are over 400-foot cutters. Alaska has none of those yet. Icebreakers, what they're now calling polar security cutters, which were finally I had a provision in the defense bill last year that authorized six of those. We got an appropriations to build the first one. But I think we got to think bigger, long-term, more vessels up here, and then use our shipbuilding capacity, like in Ketchikan, to do the maintenance on those kind of vessels. So we've made good progress, thanks to my colleagues here, but I think we're just scratching the surface. Long term, the vision is more, bigger, and being able to maintenance those and do major overhauls in Alaska, primarily at the Vigor Shipyard in Ketchikan.
You were here just a couple days after a doctor with ties to Petersburg and Juneau announced an exploratory committee to look at running against you in 2020. First off, your reaction to hearing that possibility?
Yeah, you know, I think I think he wasn't the only one who announced something last week. There was another Democrat member who's announcing. I'm sure there's going to be more. You know, the way I look at that is, you know, Mark Begich is probably looking to run again, so they'll have to battle it out among themselves. But, you know, that's pretty far away from my perspective. I'm here to not talk politics, to focus on things that we're getting done with regard to Southeast and working together here.
Okay. Well, I wanted to bring up a few of things that he raised, though, to give you a chance to respond. He talked about fixing the healthcare system, and I know you just signed on as a co-sponsor to a bill that addresses extreme costs in healthcare. To give you a chance to talk about that for a moment.
Well, look, there's a lot of things that we're doing right now in a bipartisan way in the Congress. I think we're moving from, you know, the health insurance system to the bigger issue for most Alaskans, which is reducing costs. And so I did just co-sponsor a bill that we introduced on what we call surprise medical billing. There's probably not an Alaskan or an American who hasn't gone to some facility, came back, you know, an emergency room visit or something, got an out-of-network bill that's in the hundreds or thousands. And lo and behold, you know, a lot of people benefit from that, but not people who are receiving health care. So to me, whether it's drug prices or issues that relate to the high cost, particularly in our state, of health care, I think that's where the focus is. There's a lot happening in that area. And then, you know, trying to limit the damage that occurred with regard to Obamacare. As you know, in the individual market, we went from five insurers down to one. Premiums increased over 200% in Alaska, which I think almost pretty much wiped out the individual market. and some of the things that we've been trying to do, helping the legislature. Bert or Senator Stedman and the legislature did a great job on this, these things called a 1335 waiver. We were the first state to actually get one of those. We encouraged the Trump administration to grant that. That's brought down premiums in the individual market by over 20% and is bringing federal dollars on this reinsurance match that the state legislature did. The feds are matching that with close to $300 million over 5 years. We were actively engaged in getting that granted. And we got rid of the individual mandate. And that, I think, is huge. You know, a lot of people miss the individual mandate. Think about what that policy did. That was saying to Alaskans and Americans, we are forcing you to buy a product that you cannot afford. And if you don't do it, we are going to tax you. What ended up, and penalize you. What ended up happening is that almost 70% of the Alaskans and Americans who had to pay that individual mandate tax and penalty were making $50,000 or less. So think about that. That was a tax on middle-class families, and because they were not able to buy something that they couldn't afford, and we got rid of that. And I think that's the kind of policies that people think are important. But there's a lot more work to do.